פרשת שבוע, קורח. Very interesting parsha, very important parsha, a lot to learn from, and of course the main thing to learn is what? What is the main thing in parshat Korach?
Not to be jealous.
Not to be jealous and not to get into machloket. Machloket is so terrible. You see, the idea is we have to understand and realize that we all really want. It's very hard to take it into our mind because each one of us got his own ego and he wants things for himself. But the general idea is that you have to fight it and to get to the conclusion that at the end of the day, we are all units from one part. In other words, we are parts of one unit.
ברוך אתה אדוני אלוהינו מלך העולם שהכל נהיה בדברו.
Okay. Now what's happening in our parsha? Gets up Korach, which is, by the way, as we are being told, not a simple man. He is one of the top people, the top leader of the nation. He is, they say, he's got even the Holy Spirit with him. He's got the power of prophecy. So, Ruach HaKodesh is one of those who carry the ark. So this has to be a real tzaddik. And this guy gets up, Vayikach Korach ben Yitzhar, ben Kehat, ben Levi, Vedatan ve'aviram bnei Eliav, ve'on ben Pelet bnei Reuven, vayakumu lifnei Moshe. He takes with him other people, important people, and they stand up in front of Moses. The Anashim Ibnei Israel, and he's not alone, he's with 50 and 200 Nesi'ei Eida. He is with 250 princes from the people. Kri'ei Moed Anshei Shem. ויקהלו על משה ועל אהרון ויאמרו אליהם, and they gathered on Aaron and Moshe, and they told them, רב לכם, you've taken too much on yourself. Too much what?
Power,
honor. In other words, רב לכם, כי כל העדה כולם קדושים, everybody is holy, not only you. We all stood in the Mount of Sinai and received the Torah from the Kodesh Baruch Hu.
So he's jealous of Moshe and Aaron?
Yes, of course. That's the reason he stands there. And he is covering it. You see, the point is, it happens to us a lot. In order to get things moving, we put on them a cover of holiness. And here also, what does he want? מדוע תתנסו על קהל השם? He says, why do you put yourself on top of everybody? Everybody is equal. We all want to do this job. We all want to, we are all holy. Like, this is very interesting. So what is the fight here about?
Power.
Is it about money?
Power.
Or let's put it in the
influence,
and let's put
prestige.
It in the prestige. Let's put it in other words, we've got here a simple jealousy. Why are you on top of me? I want to be on top of you. We're not going to go into the reason why it started, but we have to understand what's going on here. You see, this guy is standing against Moshe Rabbeinu, the one who gave us the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu, the one that God talks through him. Pe'el pe'a da verbo. What? And Chazal asked, what? Was he stupid? Chazal asked. Our sages asked, what did he see to do this stupid thing?
Jealousy.
No, but what moved him to do this act? Okay, you're jealous, but so because you're jealous, you go now to the president of the United States and says, I want your position.
It's a desire, and the desire is so great, it exceeds all kinds of
but
reasons.
But he had to have he had to have some reason. Or let's put it this way. But he had to build a reason.
He was a lady-like Moshe.
Yes.
He was a cousin.
Yeah. You see, he had, as we say, he had Ruach HaKodesh. So he saw that his children, children of the children, are going to be in on top positions. And we see the sons of Korach, even written in Tehillim.
Yeah, but why did all the people follow him? That's the question. They can't reach that position that he wants.
You see, I always come to the same sample. If one of the biggest rabbis in Israel will say, follow me, would people go after him? Of course. Sure. This guy, I'm saying again, he's not a simple guy. This guy carries the Aharon HaKodesh. The Holy Torah is carrying on himself. You know what holiness you have to be in order to do this job? He's one of the top guys. One of the biggest rabbis, if you want to put it in our days.
Yeah.
So this guy comes and he's got an influence. Of course he's got an influence. Now he's got all those excuses why to do it. And he's got reasons. And don't forget for a minute, who does he take? He takes the people from the tribe of Reuben, because Reuben is the eldest. And the job was taken from him. He was supposed to be the one who's got the Kohanim and the Levim. But because of what he did, whatever, it was taken from him. So he's taking him because he takes all those who's got something inside that moves them to listen to his nonsense and accept them. Why to accept them? Because they have the same desire. Because this is all story is very stupid. Because they say, Machloket Korach Va'adato. What is Machloket Korach Va'adato? How would you translate it in English? Machloket Korach Ve'adato.
Korach, an argument.
In? With whom?
With
whom? With his people. Machloket Korach Ve'adato.
Ve'adato.
His people.
His people.
Because we all know when they stand now in this test, when we see in a few minutes, how many people can get the job?
One.
And there are 250 people standing there.
That's my point.
This is something, either they're crazy or we don't understand what's going on here. There are big lessons here. So first of all, let's see, what is Korach really saying? Korach is saying, everybody is equal. And so if we want to put it in his words, what he means, or what he wants us to think he means, everybody is equal. In other words, we don't need a leader. We can, it's like we talked about it a few years ago, like in our shul, we don't need a rabbi. Everybody's clever, everybody's holy, everybody's a rabbi. We don't need a rabbi.
That's why we have so much problems.
Exactly. In other words, the first lesson to learn from here, there is a power of giving and receiving. And you see, this is why the punishment here is not a normal punishment. The earth is opening and everybody's going in it. And you know, this is not a normal punishment. God could kill them in a plague like this or this, like he did in the past. But here, God wants to teach us a big lesson. He is creating a new thing. Why? Because they went against the creation. What does it mean they went against the creation? How is the creation built? How did God build this universe? If you think about it, there are two powers. One power is giving, and the other power is receiving. Everything is built on couples. Men and women. Male and female, earth and heaven, this world and the next world. Two luchot abrit. Everything is in couples. What's the idea behind it? It says Moshe in Pirkei Avot, the first paragraph says Moshe kibel Torah miSinai, umsara liYoshua, diYoshua leZkenim, uZkenim lanchek nestagdola. In other words, God gave to Moshe Rabbeinu the Torah. In other words, God was the giver and Moshe Rabbeinu was the receiver. And then the receiver became a giver and gave it down to Yeshua, which was now a receiver. The receiver became again a giver, and that's the way it works. This is a circle. And now if you cut it in the middle, what happens? Everything stops. If the male and the female will not go together, so they will not produce anything. And if they're not going to produce anything, I don't know if you know it, there was a Christian cult in the state which were called the Shakers. Did you hear about them?
Yeah.
They used to make furniture.
Yeah, I bought an imitation.
Very expensive furniture. People have till now have them in a private collection. Like a chair can cost today thousands and thousands of shekels, if not more. Now they believe, you know how many shekels live today?
None.
Why?
Because they didn't believe in creating.
They didn't believe in producing the next generation. So they didn't do any intercourse and didn't have children because they believed that this is the world, the way it is, that's all they've got. They don't exist. In other words, if I will stop this system of giving and receiving, what do I stop?
Everything.
Everything. So God say, you want to stop this? So I will create something new that everyone will understand that you went against the creation. It's not against Moshe. It's against the whole idea of giving and receiving, because nothing can function without it. If you think you're too clever, there's nobody too clever. There is only one giver that is a giver and only a giver. And one. Who is this?
God.
That's it. Otherwise, there is always a giver and a receiver. And not only this, the receiver is also a giver. And the giver is also a receiver. In other words, in each one of us, we have both things. And you cannot cut this, because if you cut this, you cut the whole thing. It's like a man meets a woman, they get together, and they have children. If they won't meet together, if they won't be a giver and receiver, they won't be anything. And this is one of the points, a crucial point, in the argument between Korach and Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, let's take it to another aspect. He is standing and telling everybody is equal, but really, what does he want? This is unbelievable, you know. If you, but and you, we are asking ourselves, what happened to everybody here? Are they stupid? Don't they see the picture?
It's happening today too.
It's happening all the time. As we said always, this is not history. This is a way of life. We have Korach inside us. We have the Adat Korach inside us. We also cover things with the holiness. We also have jealousy and we want things that we haven't got. And we cover it with all those excuses. But at the end of the day, we are Korach. Or we behave like Korach. And we have to remember this parsha. Because this is... Look who died in this episode. Everybody. Everybody involved, including...
Korach.
Infants, small children.
But how you said that it was the degeneration from Korach was important, they didn't die?
Yes, children.
His children did tshuva in the last minute.
And
they were saved. You see, we have
how
a lot of...
How is it to make tshuva in the last minute?
How is it?
Yes.
Everybody can. Did. That's the big lesson for us.
What they did.
They were thinking to themselves, something here is wrong. So they did tshuva. You have to understand the word tzaddikim. You know, we're not talking here again. A lot of times we think that those things it's not going to happen to us or to this tzaddik or whatever. Or sometimes we think we are tzaddikim. We're not tzaddikim, but we're not evil. We cannot. We want to think like Korach. We were not there standing against Moshe Rabbeinu. But it's happening all the time. But here we see that there is always a way back. And God, even if in the last minute you do tshuva, God is going to
forgive you.
Forgive you. Even in the last minute. So in other words, there is always a chance. That's why we're learning it. That's why we try and fix ourselves. That's why we have here and there to stop for a minute and ask ourselves, are we on the right way? And the children of Korach were on, in 1 minute or on 20 seconds, they were vanished, finished. And they thought, this is wrong. Our father is wrong. This is not holiness. There is something behind which is not holy. And they did tshuva and they were saved. And this is what Korach saw. But he didn't realize that his son would do tshuva and he will be killed. Because as the Mishnah in Pirkei Avot says, Agava, Atava, Ve'akavod, Motziim et Adam min Haolam. Jealousy, honor, and lust take you out of this world. And you see, 250 from the top people of Am Yisrael standing there with a ticking bomb, with the Ktoret. What happened with the Ktoret? Remember? What happened with the Ktoret? When the two sons of Aaron went with the Ktoret where they were not supposed to do, what happened to them? They were banned.
Yes.
So now those 250 people standing there are understanding that only one. So first of all, you're wrong. Then there is only one going to. So what's in their mind? What's moving them? And by the way, we talked about in the past also, the first temple was around 400 years. The second temple was also 420. I don't remember exactly. But the interesting thing, I think in the whole first temple, I think there were maybe 6 Kohanim Golim. But in the other one, there were, I don't remember how many, I think 350 Kohanim Golim or even more. And it's not reasonable. How can it be? So there were, and by the way, the beginning were a few tzaddikim, so they took it for a long time. And if you do a small calculation, it means that nobody of those Kohanim lasted a year. Because what happened when Yom Kippur came and they went into Kodesh HaKodeshim, and if you were not 100% in Kodesh HaKodeshim, what happened to you?
You didn't make it.
You didn't make it. Now think about it. This Kohen Gadol, 200 Kohanim Gdolim before him didn't finish the year. Is he doing it or not? What do you say? Is he going in? Of course he's going. We know. It's around 350 Kohanim Gdolim. So they went all in. And we cannot understand it. This is something, really, it's very hard to accept. But we all know, if we think to ourselves, when we are jealous and we are looking for after honor, what we are willing to do. And sometimes when we think back, how did we even think about it? But when lust is involved and jealousy and honor, we don't even think what we're doing. And that's exactly what's happening there. It says, what is Motzi'im et Adam min Ha'olam? What is the Mishnah says? Taking out of the world. It's not saying from Olam Haba. It says from this world. What does it mean? We have a lot of people that are jealous and looking for honor, and they still go among us. But are they really allowed? Motziim et ha'adam min ha'olam. They take the man or the human being inside you out, and what's left?
A beast.
An animal.
You know what you think about?
You work on instinct. Yes.
Last week we had so-called spies who were top people. And they did. And this week we also have, you tell me, top. So who is there to think for themselves?
Same reason. And by the way, it's the same reason. The same problem. Honor. And here we have, here we're going, let's say, another step. Because yeah, here, the last week, they were talking about the land. Now they're talking about Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron. This is, even not enough, they didn't learn the lesson. It's even worse. It's getting worse. And if you think the problem is only with Korach and Adato, the problem is with all the people. Because what's happening in the parsha? Unfortunately, we cannot. We'll have a short shiur today because I have another shiur and it's late. But so I'm not going to go in all the details. We're trying to cover as much as we can and do it in a, let's say, in a quicker way. Right. So if we look in the parsha, so now we understand that those 250 people are really standing there with, like, shahidim. You know the suicide bomber. Yeah. That's exactly the same situation. Like, instead of a belt with bombs, they have
incense pan.
An incense pan. And they know deep inside that the minute they will light a fire, what's going to happen? Only one if will survive. But nobody survives because Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron, they were the one who chosen. Aaron, a Kohen, was the one who was chosen. Now, what's killing them? The same thing that killed the sons of Aaron. And what's saving Am Yisrael in the end of the parsha? When a plague is getting up because they talk against Moshe. They talk against Moshe.
What is killing them? The same thing that kills the sons of Aaron?
Yes.
What kills them?
The Ketoret.
Yeah, because they wanted to do too much, no?
That's what he's saying them. Rav Lachem, they... Korach says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Rav Lachem, you're taking too much. What is Moshe Rabbeinu telling them? Ame'at mikem? What, you haven't got a good enough job? You got a beautiful job. Why do you want to do any more? It's simple jealousy. And he's telling them, it's not going to work. You have to understand, in the end of the day, there is only one. So what are you doing here, 250 people, with Korach? What, are you suicidal? What's wrong with you? But we also do those things. We sometimes do stupid things that are going to cost us a lot. Okay, maybe it's not suicide, but still.
But if you do alone, it's something. But what Korach did is... he convinced 250.
Not only 250. You see what's going on. Now let's go because we haven't got a lot of time.
Because why they are standing together? Because Korach convinced them.
Yes, like, convinced them, and they were influenced by him because they also had a certain desire inside them. Because otherwise, he couldn't have such an influence on them. Because they are standing there, knowing in their mind that only one can survive. And they're still standing there.
I mean,
this is something that we have to take in our mind, deeply in our mind, to understand the power of jealousy, how dangerous it is. That's why even the infant died here. To tell us how terrible it is, jealousy, that leads you to an argument.
One also can see how much damage Dutch and Hara causes.
Of course. This is also what how is it called? What happened to them? Vatiftach adama et pia. Earth opened. What did it open?
Mouth.
What's telling your mouth? They talked badly and they were punished by a mouth. They used the mouth to talk badly on Moshe Rabbeinu. They were punished by a mouth. Mida keneged mida. I just want to say, show you a very interesting point. After Datan Vavriam also, Moshe Rabbeinu approached them. He tries to make peace. Moshe Rabbeinu, he's the king. They don't want to come to him. He goes to them. He goes to Datan Vavriam to try and make peace. And they stand chutzpedik in front of him, says, who you are? They don't want to listen to him even. And then all those... Datan Vavriam in the group and the 250 people, they all die. And you would think that after everybody here dying, what would the people do now? Would they accept what happened? Would they do tshuva? Would they fight against Moshe?
Do tshuva as a nation.
Yes.
They should do tshuva as a nation.
So let's see what's happening now. We go to Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk 6. Got it?
Yeah.
Vayilonu kol adat bnei Yisrael mimochorat al Moshe v'al Aaron le'emor atem amitem et am Hashem. A complaint. The people stand up and tell to Moshe and Aaron what? What do they tell them?
They claim he killed them.
You killed them! This is unbelievable. All those big miracles, and instead of learning the lesson, then blame Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron of killing those 250 people. Atem amitem et am Hashem. They were holy people, you killed them. We have to understand the position. We're talking here, as we said, about the top people. And really, let's say we are the people. And suddenly we hear that all those big Rabbanim were burned. What do we think? This is not a leadership. This is a killer. Look who he killed. He killed all the top people of our nation. He says, how did he kill them? He says, it's not that Moshe Rabbeinu was not chosen or whatever. He tested them with a deadly test. Why did you have to give them this ktoret that you know that ktoret in the not the proper way of using what's happening? You die.
Yeah.
So why did you do this test? Couldn't you choose a different test? They blame Moshe and Aaron. And if we think about it, we can from a certain point of view, we can understand them, because always we are puzzled. How could it be? But if we think about the people who died here, we realize that the people can... It's very hard to understand what's going on here. You can think maybe your leader is crazy. What a terrible test to do. When you know how it's going to end. In other words, you took out a verdict from the beginning. You are going to die.
Yeah, but, you know, Moshe was able to see that these people were a cancer of the nation.
Who saw it?
Huh?
Who saw it?
I said Moshe.
Yeah, but we are talking of the point
able,
of...
But he's able to determine these people are a cancer of the nation.
Okay, we know it.
And the only way to get rid of them is
We know it. But how didn't the people see it?
Yes, but God killed them. He caused them to be swallowed.
Yeah, but why did they die? Because they used the ktoret where you're not supposed to use.
Yeah, but why do they blame? I don't understand why they blame Moshe.
Because they say Moshe Rabbeinu could have given them a different test. Why did they give them this test? You could test them in a different thing, something that they would not be killed. They will be punished in a certain way, but not killed. Why to kill them? At the end of the day, they're all holy people. Now, because they think that what killed them is the use of the ktoret. So now look what happens. Moshe, God is telling Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron, get out, I'm going to kill everybody. So, of course, again, Moshe Rabbeinu, with all this, he wants to save Am Yisrael. And they fall on their faces. Vayomer Moshe el Aaron, kach et hamachta v'ten aleha esh me'al hamizbeach v'sim ktoret. What is he doing now? He is giving Aaron the same ktoret that killed all the people, and not only the people, killed Aaron's sons, and he says to Aaron, take it and run in between the plague between and save them. Now, what would you do if you know that your two children died from using the ktoret not in the right place?
But he was using it in the right.
In what?
I mean, he was he He was empowered to use the Ketoret.
Only nobody is allowed to use the Ketoret. Only
Aaron.
Only Aaron, where? Wherever he wants to.
No,
where is he using it now?
Well,
he's using it outside.
Yes, but Moshe told him.
I know that Moshe told him, but I'm thinking about yourself. Let's say you are instead of Aaron, and you know that your two sons died because of using the Ketoret. You know, let's put it simply. This class contains poison. You know, Chas v'Shalom, your children drank the poison and died. Now you are giving the poison and being told, drink it. Would you drink it?
No.
That's the point. That's the story. Aaron is being told to use the same thing that killed his children to save Am Yisrael. He's doing it. But think about what is he thinking. Of course, it's a different level, but we have to understand what's going on here. He's doing it. And he's running, and what happens? He saves. He saves the people. And why? To teach the lesson to the people. The Ketoret doesn't kill. The sin kills. Lo haKetoret memita, ela haChet memit. Because they said, you did the wrong test. If you would have given the people the test, a different test, they would be alive. Because they died because using the Ketoret. Now here you see, the Ketoret is being used again, not in the right place, and what happens? Does it kill or save? It saves. Now with Aaron. Yeah. Aaron is going with the Ketoret inside the people, in the middle of the plague, and he saves the people. The plague stops. In other words, it's not the Ketoret that is killing. It's your sin. In other words, now everybody understands and realizes that the problem is not with Moshe Rabbeinu. The problem is with the people. Though they looked tzaddikim, but they were wrong. They did a terrible thing and they were punished. Not because of using the Ketoret, but because of their sins to stand against Moshe. And this is, by the way, another thing. If you stand, you can sometimes stand against God and get out with it. Get on with life with it. But if you stand against the prophet of God, you are finished. Because God looks at it in the most, let's say, terrible thing. This is the most terrible thing that can happen, that somebody goes against his prophet. Now, after the plague is finished, we are going to end the shir. There is the story now with the sticks and everything, but we cannot go through everything. It's also like showing us that God gives another proof that Aaron was chosen. But I'm going to Pasuk 27. And here, ויאמרו בני ישראל אל משה לאמור, הן גבנו, עבדנו, כולנו עבדנו, כל הקרב הקרב אל משכן השם. So now we understand. We are not allowed to get closer to God. Because if we get closer to God, what happens to us? We die.
Perish.
So this is our distance? This is our destination? To die?
No.
Because we want to be holier?
It's how we...
Yeah, but you see, that's what they say after everything happening. They got a fright. Because they see, all those people are doing those things in order to be holier. We understand that it's not exactly the reason they're doing it. They're doing it because of, as we said, of jealousy, honor, lust, but not from the right reasons. Or in other words, the big lesson is, they are being told, unfortunately, I'm 5 minutes later than what I supposed to have the lesson. So we say it in a few words. After everything happening, still in the people inside, there is a bad feeling. They think that, and they say it, that holiness is something that you have to get far away from. You cannot get holier, because if you get closer to God, God is going to kill you. And the big lesson is, Moshe Rabbeinu tells them, each one of us has got his own job. God wants us to do our own job and not look at the job of the others. The job we were given is for us the holiest thing that can be. If you want the other one's job, it means that you're not satisfied with what God gave you. And that's exactly the point. We are doing what God wants us to do, and each one of us is different, and each one of us has different qualities and a different job. And we cannot take our eyes on the other one's job, because it's not our job. And that's the big lesson. Yes, if you want your friend's job, this is no good. You have to keep your own job and do it. And if you do, everybody is going to do his job, then the whole congregation is holy. Then, kol ha'eda kulam kedoshim. And only then, if each one of us will understand that we are a part of one unit, as we started our lesson. If each one will understand that there is a receiver and a giver, we all receive, and then we also become giver. And this is the way the creation is working. And each one of us got his own job, its own giving, its own receiving, and this is the way it works. If each one of us is going to be in his right place and not try to do the other one's job, then we can get to the idea of kol ha'eda kulam kedoshim.